The New Testament lesson chosen for us this morning is from Paul's letters to the Romans, the Christians in Rome. Romans chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Last week we got through one verse. Let's see what we do this week. Today we're going to focus on three verses, verses 2, 3, and 4. But I still want to read verse 1, which is Paul introducing this letter by starting with his name, which we spent quite enough time last week, so I won't go back. But he starts with Paul. He said, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, he said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the invitation of Jesus. We talked about that also last week. But we need to hear this again and again and again every day, especially on Sunday. Jesus is inviting us to come to him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Oh, I need to hear that. I know some of you need to hear that. I was just reminded that this past Friday, I said, well, Friday is my day of rest. This is my day of doing nothing but singing in praise and relaxing and you know, enjoying the weather, the sunshine, and perhaps go to the Griffin Park and just play in the playground, because it's my favorite activities, you know, the swing set, and I have a toddler, so that's a fun activity to do. So I had all my day worked out. Then I got a phone call from a good friend of mine and say, Pastor Joseph, you need to come down. I said, I'm not coming down for no reason. This is my day off. I said, no, you have appointment at 9 o'clock. You make appointment at 9 at church. I said, I make no appointment at 9 on Friday. No way, Jose, all right? I told him on the phone. Oh, no way, Bob. So I'm not coming down. And the friend said, no, you got to come down. There are three people. One of the guys is huge, and they look mad because you're not showing up on time. So you better show up or else. I said, okay, I'll show up. So I went. And to cut the long story short, I made it from my home to the church. There's some stories to it, but I made it. And made it. I met the people and said, are you the pastor? And I said, yes, I'm the pastor. So you call us. I said, no, I didn't call you. But you did. So, are you the pastor? I said, yes, I am. Second times. And we went back and forth, and finally they were satisfied that I didn't call them. So I was all shaken. I didn't know what to do. I have a toddler in my car. I was supposed to take her to after the park to the bookstore. That was our next activity, to Nashua. So I forgot that one of those moments threw me up. My Friday got all, you know, one of those days, just all of a sudden things happen and you forgot that you are a dad and you are driving. So I was on the road and I went on this, whatever road you call it, past the high school and the road towards Hudson. And as I passed the one little church, the light going near the Hudson High School, I saw this light blinking behind me. And I knew I didn't have any bodyguards or any chauffeur, any, what do you call that, parade, whatever that guards, right? Thank you. So I thought I had to stop, so I stopped. So I was shaking a little bit. I didn't know what to do. I needed rest, too. I was all this burden in my head. And I go, okay, whatever reason that is. So I just literally handed my wallet to the police officer. I did. And doggone it, I couldn't. Oh, is it the right word to say from pulpit? Darn it. He didn't ask for my license. He said, your registration, please. And I was like, my registration? What's the registration? So I opened up the thing, the glove box, and I was digging through. I could not find my registration card. I realized that we had car inspected. I had to take it out, and I forgot to put it back. And imagine that. This police officer stopped me in the middle of nowhere. Oh, well, in the middle of Hudson, somewhere there. And there I was. I had to explain to a little girl that I had no registration. And so I quickly explained, I use this, I sin, okay? I broke the law. I'm not supposed to do it. I said, oh, I'm a pastor. I just got out from this church. Oh, I threw the word. I'm the pastor. Oh, did he care? No, he didn't. He said, sir, he said, I caught you. I'm like, oh, I'm done. I'm going to end up in the newspaper. This is it. The pastor of Wyndham Presbyterian Church broke the law, and then he didn't have a registration in his car. I thought I was doomed. And in my heart was pounding. Two stories. I have something, that little thing that he gave me to prove it. And so my little daughter was back there, and she was saying, Daddy, that's a police officer. I'm like, yes, it is. Be quiet, all right? And so I was explaining my fiasco of the day, how it all went, and I just came out of church, and here I was. I was supposed to say, sir, I'm sorry, and I said, well, I thought you stopped me for not wearing my seatbelt. Here we go. True story. And he said, no, I caught you for the speed. I'm going, thank you. Why did I say that, right? So he went back. He said, stay put. Do you live in this such and such address? I'm not going to do details, but I think he was a Presbyterian Christian police officer. Could be Catholic too. I don't know, but he said, okay, since you have a clean record, here's a yellow ticket. So he gave me a warning. Okay, so that's the end of the story almost. But then my daughter immediately said, my toddler 3-year-old said, Daddy, put Bless the Lord, oh my soul song, now. Now, she wanted to hear the praise song in the midst of it. And then Mighty to Save, those two are her favorite praise songs. That in split seconds, she said, Dad, put on Bless the Lord, oh my soul, right now. No, had no choice but put on my Bluetooth and put it on, connected my phone and praise song. Immediately calm my soul, my spirit, and calm my little three daughters. I share this story, true story. I didn't make up. And I didn't make that story so that I make illustrations so that I can share with you all. It happened to me on Friday, and there was an elder that called me on the phone to prove it. I had this conversation with a certain elder and say, you won't believe what happened to me. I got stopped today. I didn't get a ticket, of course. I share this story mainly because we go through every day, and you know, we need to hear the good news. The good news of the gospel. The good news that we are okay. That the good news that God loves you. It's not just God is love. The good news is that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. That is the gospel. That is the good news. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Oh, I don't know if that word or that phrase brought you to tear the first time you heard it. Or it must have been for Paul. Remember Saul of Tarsus. Paul, who was on his way in Acts chapter 9, a book before Romans, Acts chapter 9. Saul, before he met this Jesus, the powerful Son of God. Paul was on his way on the road to Damascus. He wasn't on his way to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, King Jesus. He was on his way to arrest Christians, persecute them, put them in the jail and torture them. On his way of doing evil things, bad things, the powerful Son of God met him on the road. Now, if you think about the moment or the time you met Jesus and you came encounter with the Lord and you first had this relationship with the saving Christ, I'm sure you have a wonderful story to tell. Maybe it's because of what someone did to you or someone said to you, or maybe because of a church event or a mission organization or a camp or a revival event. I don't know what your story would be. But Paul would say that I was on my way, completely running away from God, doing something bad, terrible. I was doing my own things and doing my own way, running my own life. And there came Jesus, the powerful Son of God. He wasn't preaching. He wasn't singing. I mean, all those are important. I'll go to those topics a little later on. All those spiritual activities, singing, praising God, and preaching and worshiping is good stuff. But Jesus wasn't doing that to Paul. You know what he did to Paul? He brought lightning. Lightning flashed around Paul. This is in the Bible, Acts chapter 9. This is how Paul was converted, became a Christian. Lightning flashed around him, and God was so powerful, the powerful Son of God. Read Acts chapter 9 when you get home or sometime at the service, that Paul fell on his knee on the ground. He was slain. He couldn't get up. Just like that. Supernatural. The power of God. It's alive. It's powerful. It's real. It's transforming. Paul was knocked down. Will he ever get up again? I borrowed that from a song. Would Paul ever get up again? The Bible said for 3 days he was blinded. He couldn't see a thing. But then God told him to meet a certain man and who helped him see again. And in that conversion, Jesus asked Paul, or Saul, 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 why are you persecuting me? And Paul asked the questions. Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? And that's the question we're going to ask for a few minutes this Who is this Lord? Who are you, Lord? Who is the Son of God? Who is Jesus? Paul in Romans chapter 1 verse 2, he said, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel is God's good news in Jesus Christ. So the gospel is Jesus Christ. He promised beforehand. So this is not an accident. This is not a plan B. But God thought this all along, that he would send Jesus to bring good news to us people who are doomed for eternal punishment because of our sins. That's the bad news. But the good news is that God thought about this all along, and he sent his Son Jesus Christ, promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, Isaiah and Jeremiah, with the line of David, the Son of David would reign to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he will reign forever, that his kingdom will have no end. That Messiah who was promised through the Holy Scriptures. And that is, happened to be a descendant of David, which is fully human. Jesus is fully human and fully God. How do we know that? Of course, we know about the Christmas story, the nativity, the incarnation, the Bethlehem story. But in here, verse 3, Paul said, regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David. Well, we know King David. He was a man after God's own heart. He failed. He sinned. He confessed. He repented, and God forgave him. And then after David came Solomon, his son, and the wisest king of all times, right? Then after King Solomon, well, I should say things went downhill from there. Kings after kings, descendants after descendants of David, fall short. In fact, the last reigning king, King Joashim, was cursed by God and saying that you will not have any more descendants that will reign on the throne. So from then on, the throne of David was, we could say, practically non-existent after King Jehoiachin, when God cursed him. So how could Jesus be possibly be a descendant of David then? Well, Solomon, King Solomon, had a brother who happened to be named Nathan, not the prophet Nathan. So Solomon had a brother, Nathan. And Nathan had children, sons, who would be able to take the throne. But every time Nathan's son tried to claim the throne of David, there would be immediate threat and challenge of that kingship and that throne by the descendants of Solomon, or the descendant of the reigning kings, that they would never, were never able to claim the throne. So in just thinking human mind that Jesus would be coming from the line of David was at that point unthinkable, because unimaginable, impossible, because there would be no reigning king. But then something happened. The faithfulness of God, the goodness and the mercy of God took place. You all know the story of Mary and Joseph, right? The Bethlehem story. Well, Joseph came from the line of Solomon, the descendant of King David and Solomon, and that the son Solomon had children and the sons and that descendants. So Joseph is from the line of King Solomon. And guess where Mary came from? Mary came from the line of Nathan, the brother of King Solomon. So that in Jesus, these two lines of kingship will be combined. Are you following me? This is God's plan to bring Jesus to be the descendant of David. That by bringing Joseph and Mary together, that when Jesus said, I'm the Messiah, when Jesus claimed that he is the Messiah, that there would not be impossible in human mind to challenge that Messiahship, because there would not be another one like Jesus who would bring that two line of Davids together, and that there will be no one will be able to challenge and say, oh, I'm the Messiah, because Jesus complete that line and fulfill that promise of the messianic promise that he will be the son of David. Oh yes, Jesus had brothers, but if they claim to be the Messiah, they will be under the curse, because none of them will break free from the curse. Jesus came through the line of David, and yet he is the Son of God, is fully God, came from heaven, the eternal Son of God, but came in Bethlehem stories as a powerless baby. The power, the majesty of God was veiled in the flesh. And that Jesus, Paul said in verse 4 of Romans chapter 1, and he said, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. That helpless baby, that powerless baby, that the God who became a human, flesh and blood, the line of David. Paul said in verse 4, this is your Lord, this is your King. And who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. In another word, Jesus is the powerful Son of God. He's not just human being. He's not just a helpless babe. He's not just an adult who went to the cross and got killed and murdered. But he's the Son of God who rose again from the dead. And he said, in power by his resurrection from the dead. So the resurrections declare that Jesus indeed is the powerful Son of God. Now, knowing that fact, what does it do to us? Right? Yeah. Big deal. I heard that before. Jesus is powerful. Jesus is God. He's the powerful Son of God. Men and women, that's what precisely the point. That's Paul's point, is that this is the good news. This is the gospel. That powerful Son of God is for you. Can we say amen to that? The powerful Son of God is for you. This is amazing grace. Hallelujah. This is awesome. When you face through your Monday, when you got stopped by the police officer, the first thing you should is, Jesus is my Lord. Not, don't do that, but you know what I mean. Whatever you're going through, your Monday, your Tuesday, your Wednesdays, every day, this powerful Son of God, fully man, fully God, now reign and sit in the right hand of God. Jesus always sat, the Son of God always sat on the right hand of God. Now sat on the right hand of God. Now he's interceding for us. That powerful Son of God is for you. Does it bring tears and joy to your hearts, to your eyes when you hear that? When you sing song about, this is amazing grace. This is indescribable. Does it move you to tears knowing that this powerful Son of God loves you and saved you from a wretch like me, like you, and make us new in him, that we are, Paul said, we are justified as we were never sinned. We are set free. Our chains fell off. Oh, our hearts were set free. And now we can get up, went forth, and follow Jesus. Borrowed from Charles Wesley hymn, Amazing Love. We can do that. Realizing that we have the powerful Son of God given to us is for us. Whatever may come, this is the good news, men and women. Remember that. Jesus is inviting us every day. This powerful Son of God is inviting you, not just today, not just Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. He's inviting you every single day when you go through the doctor's appointment, when you have financial challenges, when you have job difficulty, relationship difficulty, you have burdens, you're heavy laden, and you have burden. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. This is no joke. This is an invitation, not a demand. Not a threat, but a invitation, a gentle calling, because Jesus said, I will give you rest. When the Son of God, the powerful Son of God, invites you, when the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, invites you and say, hey, get some rest. Come to me. I'll give you power. I'll give you joy. I'll give you strength. Whatever you need, I'll give you. Because Jesus is the powerful Son of God. In him, we have victory. In him, we have the power to live every day. For Paul says in Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 28, so it's a preview to Romans chapter 8, he said, we are more than conquerors because Jesus is the powerful Son of God. Verse 28 of Romans 8, Paul said, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will not he also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Now hear this, the promise, verse 35, and a statement. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we have faced death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Good news, good news, good news. Jesus loves you. Nothing can separate you from that love. Believe in that love. Trust in him. Vaya con Dios. Go with God. Thanks be to God. Amen.